This is the Digital Savage Experience Podcast, hosted by Roman Prokopchuk, bringing you all things digital marketing, tech, business, and motivation. What's stopping you from becoming relentless in all aspects of life? Are you ready to become a digital savage? Let's get into today's episode.
Hey everyone, this is Roman Prokopchuk, and this is the Digital Savage Experience Podcast. Today I have with me Susan Gold. She's an author, consultant, and coach. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, Roman. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. So tell me a little bit about your journey. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, it's been a bit of a road, but I grew up in a really chaotic family. There was an alcoholic dad and a mentally ill mom at the helm. There are five kids. I was smack in the middle. But I'm grateful actually now, seeing it in hindsight. I didn't understand the level of toxicity I was experiencing till after I got out. I left the morning after I graduated high school, and I basically didn't look back much. My dream was to get to New York City. I used to watch Barbara Walters on my beanbag on my belly in the basement. And I wanted to be like her. I ended up being her exercise trainer to make some extra money on the side once I got to New York. And she actually supported me. I was being harassed in the workplace, and she could see through it. And she said, "We're going this morning and we're confronting this guy." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, I'm going to be okay, Barbara." But that prompted me to form my own talent brokerage firm to match celebrities with brands. And I kind of got a name doing that.
Nice. And how did you kind of jump into that? Did you piggyback? Like you said, you were a personal trainer and built on relationships, because, you know, it's a realigning or reaffirming or rotating theme that I've had on, you know, my show, being on other shows, that, you know, the main thing of kind of any business venture or anybody in any career is relationship building. So how did you kind of, you know, I guess, harness that?
Well, it's a really good question. I mean, Barbara at the time offered me an assistantship through her fiance, who was head of Lorimar, but I couldn't deal with another assistantship. So I just started to go off on my own. And back then I just cold called people. Like, I got a directory and just made 50 cold calls a day like a maniac. And Donnie Deutsch was the first one who raised his hand. He was running his dad's ad agency now. He's a television host and a bit of a cultural icon. But he wanted me to get Andy Warhol to endorse Pontiac. So I took the subway down to the factory, knocked on the door, and convinced Andy to do the spot. Relationship building is really important, and I believe in that. But what I also believe is to imagine and dream and trust, because I didn't have the educational training to become a television producer, but I manifested it. And I never believed I needed a piece of paper behind me or a methodology or an affirmation. I really believe that I have a trajectory here and I have opportunity. And I think that we're much more powerful creators, Roman, than we're given credit for, or we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's only a few things you really kind of need a degree for, and I wouldn't necessarily trust somebody operating on me without any formal, you know, piece of paper, more so for like STEM, like, you know, doctors, engineers, that kind of stuff. But a lot of things that were traditionally the entryway into the career is a bachelor's degree or whatever, because I really hated that, especially in careers. I've been in digital marketing and marketing for 15 years. So that's been like a prerequisite requirement if you're joining an agency, you know, a bachelor's or a master's. But that doesn't, like you said, speak to your creativity. And I've spoken at universities to outgoing seniors, and they're kind of like deer in headlights. They don't necessarily know what's what and what they actually learned in the book or in a book in those 4 years. At the point they get to year four, it's already outdated, depending on, you know, how fast information, techniques, technology is changing. So like you mentioned, it's kind of the belief in yourself. And then if you're able to do it and flourish in it, because it's one thing saying, hey, I'm great and I'm going to do this, but having kind of the wherewithal to get great as well, putting the time, investing your time in yourself and becoming that kind of great person in whatever you're pursuing.
I think, you know, taking risks. I mean, sometimes they're not even managed risks. The first firm I opened, I think I had maybe a couple of months of cash in the bank. And I just really had to trust and step out. And when things weren't a fit, which happened multiple times, I had to just step up and believe. And there's always a way.
Yeah. I mean, the only way you would fail in that situation is really as an individual or as a business is just quitting. Because even if you're in a period of potentially setback or failure, I think everything I've said it before, everything in life is a lesson or a blessing. So taking something out of that traumatic experience or failure that helps you pursue or undertake or pivot in a way or another, or help you solve a problem or some kind of obstacle in the future, it's never really a failure if you're able to approach it that way.
Yeah, I think I don't want to get too heady, but like even the traumatic experiences that I had in my family, they have served me. And in hindsight, I really was blessed with the family that I was ushered into. I almost feel like there's no accident there. There was a storyline that I needed to live in order to ultimately understand who I am as an individual and who I have the potential to be. And for some people, it sounds, you know, odd, because when I was brave enough to go back into that home where I was raised and really examine some of the relationships and the interactions and the dynamic, it really helped me gain compassion, because I understood that my parents were doing absolutely the best they could. They were coming from their own history of trauma, and it was abused children raising abused children. And that was in the lineage. And in my opinion, it's the same thing for me in adulthood. I mean, we're doing the best we could. That boss that harassed me, he was doing the best that he knew how. That's how he knew how to survive. And I learned how to step up and say no, and it's not okay, and draw boundaries. And I repeated that multiple times in my career and in my personal life.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like you said, everybody is kind of dealt the cards that they're dealt, and going back, like you mentioned, going through or put into a traumatic situation and overcoming that, or you know, some people kind of like reminisce, maybe, you know, my life would have turned out if I didn't go through XYZ. But I think that kind of level of adversity and suffering makes you who you are. It's one of those things where, like, if you're not tested, I don't think you can truly become great in the way, because you're not experiencing kind of those adversities. So, you know, a sailor doesn't become like a great sailor if he's just in a safe harbor for the duration of their career. It's you know, at some point something's gonna happen. I mean, I've had, you know, domestic abuse in terms of my dad to my mom.
But I have to agree with you that if we're open enough and brave enough, I mean, it takes a lot of bravery. All I wanted to do was get out of my house, get out of my town, get out of the system. And as it came closer, it got really scary. And I thought, am I going to be able to do this? Humma, humma. And it was the same thing getting out of what I came to understand was an abusive marriage. The same thing, humma, humma. Am I going to be able to stand up to it? Am I going to be able to get out of it? Am I going to be safe and okay? And you know, ultimately getting support and going within to harness the power and knowing that it's really gonna be okay, and learning to self soothe and build compassion. I think the self-soothing has really been a discovery for me too, because I was like bulldog, bulldozer, even writing my book, you know, like the first pass, I made myself sit at the computer for 15 minutes a day, whether I had something to write or not. And it was a great way to get a first pass at my story, but I didn't really feel a connection. And then a mentor said, you know, why don't you go back at it and try to go back at it from, you know, little Susie's point of view, that little one inside your heart, that sweet fire of soul in there who's been through all that you've lived through. And that's when I really saw the beauty and the power in each of those puzzle pieces coming together. But it's also not for the faint of heart, Roman, as you know, and as you're sharing through all your content and all your guest interviews.
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of reflect also. And I mean, I think a good exercise is a lot of people just talk, you know, basis of talking or having a decent conversation is the same thing you really do. You know, you go to a counselor or a therapist, you talk through things. They don't necessarily provide a solution, but they're kind of like your guide. You know, let's say you go to a national park and you have some kind of forest ranger, whoever, they're there to assist you, but you're kind of like, you know, making your own path and kind of solving things along the way and experiencing things along the way. And if you really kind of, a lot of people, I think if they can slow down, because with the busyness of life and in the US and other countries, most people don't even have time to kind of sit and actually even reflect on anything. So it's important, even if you start the day off with like 5 minutes or so and reflecting who you are, you know, what you have, what you're thankful for, where you started, and kind of, you know, build it that way. I think it's a great exercise to kind of build yourself, to potentially get out of a rut, and to, I would say, establish some kind of, like, if you're feeling something like imposter syndrome or you have kind of no worth, like how far you really have come to where you are now.
Gratitude, like, is super essential. And it used to make me want to puke when somebody would say, I'm going to make a gratitude list. I'd be like, fluff you. If you were in my chair, you'd have no gratitude either. But you're right. It softens the beast. I just want to say my experience with traditional talk therapy, you know, I'm really grateful that I had the opportunity of doing it. And it helped me lay down my storyline concretely. Because I had no idea, because I was on that hamster wheel that you're referring to, just trying to survive. And I still struggle with the post-traumatic stress and the trauma to this day. But what really has helped is to go inside and do somatic work. So like go into my body, into the places where the trauma is stored, and like feel it, see it, touch it. You know where it's from, what it is, and then send it love and release it. That's a total abbreviation of the process. but those kinds of processes have really served me and really helped me not just shift, but actually create transformation. And I feel really grateful that I could experience that and understand that.
Yeah, and I think it's important to have some kind of coping mechanism or some kind of healthy release to ongoing stress, you know, existing kind of feelings and those that have been developed through, you know, grief, trauma, and underlining things that, for the most part, you live with, but they never really go away. You know, if you experience something traumatic or a loss, that, you know, you go through the grieving process, it's like a wound real time, and that wound becomes a scar that's a reminder of that, you know, experience and time. So having some kind of a release that keeps you sane, whether that's exercise or some kind of hobby that puts you into some kind of, you know, a state that you're willing to, or helps you, like you said, kind of like diffuse it and not keep it bottled up. Because oftentimes when you keep bottling it up, it always ends up hurting the closest people around you. Like, it doesn't implode where it's like you're by yourself or it's like some situation that's trivial. It's always some kind of, you know, relationship that's important to you. So I think having that kind of, I guess, I wouldn't even say coping mechanism. I would just say some kind of a healthy activity that helps you kind of like de-stress and get things kind of cleared up with yourself, because sometimes you're able to talk and it's a good exercise, but sometimes you kind of need time to yourself as well, kind of a me place to deal with that as well.
I super agree with what you're saying. It's just somebody like me can take it to the extreme. Like, you know, I always related through my body. I was a really active kid, you know, we were a bit like the Kennedys, you know, always like competing, you know, and the girls were right in there with the boys. And as an adult, you know, I took that to an extreme. So I got clean when I was 25, but I still have addictive tendencies. And I started marathon running. And then when that was too grueling, I decided to spread it out through three sports, really smart, Roman, and triathlon. And then there were so many injuries. I decided, okay, I'll just try master swimming. And I was just using it like a heroin addict. And this was like deep into my adulthood. I mean, there were NC2A athletes training with my adult master swim team. And they're like, you're training just like an NC2A athlete would. I was doing like 5:30 a.m. swims till 7, and then going back for a double in the afternoon, throwing kettlebells and going to hot yoga, walking my dog 3 times a day. It was insane. And then suddenly I couldn't walk around my block from an injury. And then I tried to push through that for another year before I finally had to surrender that faux persona and go in yet again to find even more compassion and understanding for who I am as a human being, as well as who you are. Like, being humble that way has given me such a container to shift my view of human beings.
Yeah, and I think coming to a point or a realization, a person that they're self-aware enough to see that that's kind of like the path that they're going on, because I agree with you. People with kind of very obsessive personalities are just like throw 1,000,000% into something and are just like relentless about it. If you're not harnessing it or kind of like keeping it in check, obviously, if you have some kind of vice or something going on, that could be, you know, move towards the negative direction. But even in positive, it gets to a point where it's like, you know, you're burning yourself out, and, you know, mental health is big. It's one of those things I think globally it's under talked about and underrepresented in terms of, you know, what people have going on, especially entrepreneur startup founders, where I believe there's been several studies that the rate of suicide is a lot higher based on like all the burden they put on their shoulders, and there's no kind of like coping process that they go through, and nobody really knows kind of that struggle of them going through day to day to kind of carry their companies, I guess. So I think it's important to be self-aware and come to that. Step one is coming to that realization, and then easier said than done, figuring out how to like deal with that in a healthy manner.
Yeah, and get support for sure. And I'm glad you brought up the mental health thing, because it is becoming more natural. I mean, my son, he's 19. He's trying to get through college in 3 years. I think he's going to do it. But he and his generation, they seem much more open to talking about it. Like me, you didn't go to somebody and pay them to talk about your problems and what was going on. And God forbid you went on any kind of medication to like boost your serotonin levels so you could get to an even playing field. So I'm glad that it's opening up. And I'm also glad that we're breaking down, like we're seeing the breakdown. And it's not just in this system, but it's multiple systems globally. Because I really feel like we're going to have hope now for positive transformation that's going to serve all.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned obviously authoring, a book. I've spoken to several people that are either first time authors or have written several books. What was the point? Because a lot of people think or want to, create and become an author, but they have hurdles. So was there any kind of hurdles in that way? Is it something you always wanted to do? And what was that kind of point where you said, okay, I'm going to do it?
Thanks for asking, Roman. So the first time it was suggested in 2007 by an Irish seer, oh, you got a book to write. And then the last time it was by an intuitive, and she's like, you have three to write. So I was like, fluff, I gotta get going because I don't want to write any more than three. I didn't want to write a book. I didn't want to go back into my past. I had done so much work and I didn't really want to revisit it, but I just finally believed, yeah, maybe my story counts. I didn't think that I had that interesting of a story personally or professionally. And then finally I just decided, even if it just helps one person get some kind of insight or, have some kind of revelation, it's worth it. And I'm really glad I did it. Now, it's not easy. There's a lot of self-judgment that came up for me. There was a lot of just discard kind of energy and judgment. But it really has helped me bring everything full circle. And I've already gotten specific feedback where it has brought insight. It has helped other people. And so I think I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, I think oftentimes we're our toughest critics, regardless, especially creators. If you're creating, everything has to be perfect. If it's not perfect, it's, not like worthy to go out or people to see it or hear it or read it. And that's not like one of those things. It's like, if you can do your best, put it out. If you're writing something, if you're creating a product, service, anything, any kind of content or anything related to it, and then get a reaction from, the general populace, get their feedback. How'd you do? And I think, like you said, kind of being afraid to share your story or like, what I've experienced, who wants to hear that, or it's not significant, but as long as you can impact one person through that, I also say the same thing for like putting yourself out there and doing interviews, whether that be, traditional in studio podcasts, either, remotely or in the studio or, any kind of like media, write-ups, anything like that. But before, there was a period of time 3 or 4 years ago where I mentioned, we've experienced 6 miscarriages. And it's one of those things where, I went online to see if anybody is going through that from the male perspective, how they're dealing with it or, other things that can like whatever arise from it. And there weren't really a lot of people talking about it. I didn't want to really talk about it to begin with, but I really said like, there's nobody talking about it, so why not me? So if there's something that you've experienced or you have a story to share, one, don't think that you won't impact someone. And two, if you don't see somebody being that kind of advocate or somebody that's actually adding value, then kind of become that person and kind of get out of your own shell. Because even though like I would consider myself somewhat introverted, but putting myself out there and putting myself, giving myself kind of the freedom to share, it's opened up my, myself, the way I am, the way I communicate. So I encourage people all the time, if they have something that's on their mind or on their heart or an experience they've experienced that, potentially can add value to, like you said, at least one person, then that's, a worthwhile venture to pursue.
And you're really brave to be talking about it publicly the way that you are. And I agree, it is much needed. And I want to applaud you. I mean, just producing a podcast on a regular basis is a lot, so many people think it looks so glamorous, and I understand like the backstory. It's a ton of work and it's a ton of time, but I really appreciate what you're putting out.
Yeah. And it's a half hour show is probably 5 to 6 hours all said and done with everything. But like, I kind of take the attitude of like, if not me, then who? So you can't expect change if you're not willing to be kind of the change maker. And just because some people are often kind of timid and they have the mindset like, you know, it'll get done eventually. Or it's like, you know, we have an issue with homelessness or hunger. Well, you know, somebody can get to it. They have more time. They have more resources. But taking that attitude, one, doesn't mean it'll ever get solved. And two, it doesn't necessarily even, you know, mean that anyone else is thinking like that. If everybody's sitting around, don't really have kind of like a hive mentality, break through that and kind of like stand up and be the thought leader and leader to champion something. Like I try to do that with mentioned fostering 29 kids, foster care advocacy, because from the perspective of a foster parent and seeing everything the kids deal with, you know, there's a lot of cracks in the foster care system. I believe it should be overhauled completely. So any chance I get to speak in person or on any, you know, stage, digital, virtual, or otherwise, I take that opportunity because I don't necessarily know who will hear it. Maybe a congressman or, you know, a legislative person, and they'll say, oh yeah, I didn't realize this because it's coming from a different perspective. And you never know who's actually listening. It's funny enough. I wasn't big on TikTok, but during, the pandemic, I started posting content about my experiences as a foster parent, and a few regional magazines reached out about doing stories about what's it like being a foster parent through the pandemic and all the additional trials. Because some of the things people didn't know, we had to take over all the jobs of the caseworker or the nurse, so on and so forth. So, taking care of kids are coming from situations and traumatic situations and, you know, everything that they bring each child. But then you have another thing that you have to facilitate and kind of like monitor and be present for all of these calls. So that wouldn't have come about, that opportunity to share that, if it wasn't posted or taking kind of like, you know, who cares what people are going to think? Let me put this out there because that's what I'm experiencing. And then that got picked up by like an Australian, like feel good, publication that there's like 5 to 10 million readers online of that a month. And then they kind of like did their own version of the story. So you don't know who's listening or where something may lead unless you actually put the information out there or just be heartfelt about what you're trying to do.
I mean, even from just that, you may have pushed like 5 people over the edge that were thinking about fostering one child. Yeah, that's a really powerful message, Roman. And that gives me so much faith and hope and encouragement, like to continue on with what I'm doing, you know, because I've had a lot of like, what'd you write a book called Toxic Family for? First of all, it wasn't even my title. Like my title was Magical Elimination because I feel like that's what it's been. It's been a privilege to have time to reflect and see it and to appreciate all the players, especially my mom and dad, for the role that they played. And I feel like it has been a magical illumination and an enlightenment, just like you're sharing now. What an enlightenment for you to experience, to be willing to share about the miscarriages, about fostering these children. Like, I super want to cry right now, sorry. But to get that messaging out, like to do that as a human being, and then to become willing to make yourself vulnerable, especially as a man in today's society, and share that. And then, you know, to be helping other people maybe dive down that trench too, where it's really needed. It's really admirable. Sorry, I'm emotional.
It's okay. And yeah, I think anything you do in life, I think there's going to be people that are going to be judgy, especially if you put yourself out there, especially online. Like, go to any YouTube video or any social media post, half of the comments are just going to be negativity and just blind negativity without like basis. It's not backing anything up. So you're going to get a little bit about that. But I think easier said than done, but getting to a point where you kind of don't care about it and the reward outweighs what people are actually saying, because the good you can do through that is a lot more, I guess, beneficial to yourself internally and other people potentially than, you know, some people saying something or criticizing or critiquing. I mean, there's a difference between constructive criticism and straight just being nasty just to be nasty. So, I mean, you can expect that in 2023 on any social media platform, but, you know, as long as you're impacting, and even, you know, I shared on social media about us adopting this week, and there's people reaching out like, oh, I've been following your journey since the beginning, since, well, you know, we've been fostering for 4 years and I haven't even heard from or of this person. So you don't know who's most people that follow you or look to you as some kind of a thought leader or a role model or some kind of inspiration or some kind of beacon in whatever you're talking about. Or don't even say anything. So that, like, that would, I think, account for maybe 90% of a community that doesn't even say anything, but have had, like, this week people are like, you know, I've been following you since the beginning and it's like admirable what you're doing and you're, you know, you're a great dad, so on and so forth. And like, it's opened up my eyes to, you know, of different situations and different things kids are struggling in the US and in the foster care system. So that's another thing. Just because you put something out and you don't hear as much feedback as you want doesn't mean people aren't getting value out of it as well.
You have a lot of wisdom to impart. We're really grateful we collided.
Yeah, sometimes. My wife would differ at times, but sometimes I kind of like it, you know, having conversations, especially in the in the format of a podcast, I think it's more, at least most podcasts are, you know, mine, it's a more intimate and a more personal conversation where it's not like, you know, a staged interview where like you have canned questions. You can really like dive deep and learn things about yourself through the conversation and through the different perspectives of the, you know, the guests and the host as well.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I'm doing it. I mean, other than the fact that I'm not a huge fan of social media, but like I chose to market, quote unquote, through podcasts because I need to hear what the message is that I need to deliver. Like I didn't even know in my first podcast I recorded, I really didn't even know what I was going to talk about and how, you know, what my true goals were. And then the more I let go and the more I allow the conversation to happen, like we just have, the unbelievable gifts and clarity and inspiration and excitement are created.
Yeah. And I think the willingness to add value to the community you're speaking to. So like I said, either just sharing advocacy or just, you know, just trying to add any type of value. If I go another show, you know, I don't even go with the goal of, you know, promoting my show or my business or anything. I kind of ask myself, what can I give or deliver to the audience that can, you know, potentially add value to them?
And that shows, it shows in your hosting and it shows in your guesting. And it shows in your guests.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So what's one piece of advice you could leave with the audience, personal or professional?
On both ends, personally and professionally. Be general with yourself and just respect the fact that it's not easy being a human being. It's not easy. So just try to be gentle. That's what I'd encourage.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the whole we're our toughest critics, it's, you know, oftentimes it's, we're very harsh, in situations. And at the end of the day, most things you can ease up on and give yourself some slack. Because if you have, you know, the opportunity to wake up tomorrow, you can almost anything in life, you can take a different trajectory or pivot, or at least take the step or the initiative or write down that like today is the day that I'm willing to change this aspect of my life or, you know, go in this direction. So as long as you wake up, you know, you have the ability to and kind of the free will to do so.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But I really appreciate the conversation and you stopping by. Can you let the audience know how they can find you or anything else you have going on?
Oh, sure. So Roman, if they just go to susangold.us, That's susangold.us. Everything's there. You can get in direct contact. All my information's up there.
Awesome. Thanks again for stopping by.
I'm glad I did.
This podcast has been brought to you by Nova Zora Digital. Find out how Nova Zora Digital can help your company grow online. Learn more at NovaZoraDigital.com. Until next time, all you digital savages.